Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Tim Mullaney, the editor of Home Healthcare News. This time around, I was pleased to speak with Nita Summers, the president of Honor. Before we get to my conversation with Nita, I'd like to introduce our sponsor, Homecare Homebase, America's number one home health software solution. Homecare Homebase's powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines every aspect of your business, from scheduling, routing, and patient notes to billing, approvals, and more. Visit hchb.com and see how home health software can help your organization. All right, by way of a little bit of background, Honor is based in the Bay Area of California, and it made a lot of waves in 2015 when it burst onto the home care scene by raising $20 million in venture capital from some really high-profile investors, including Andreessen Horowitz. And Honor's continued to raise capital since then, including a $42 million round in 2016. So Honor is really a poster child for a whole new breed of tech-forward home care companies that have emerged in the last several years. And they've all raised large venture capital rounds and have made the case that traditional home care could be transformed with digital tools, including tools that match caregivers with clients and make the back-end business processes more efficient, which they say should enable higher caregiver wages. So these companies have proven they can raise capital, but there have been questions about whether they have a sustainable business model. And last year, one of them, Home Hero, shut down. And shortly after we recorded this podcast, another one of these startups, Home Team, announced that it's going to be transitioning to a new CEO and changing its business model. So in our talk, Summers discussed how Honor has also had to adapt since it first launched, and she talked about its current identity and its approach to expansion and how she thinks it's still trying to change the status quo in the industry. Nita, thanks for joining the podcast. Excited to chat with you this afternoon. To start out, I just wanted to get maybe more of a sense of what your background is and what led you to Honor. So if you'd start just by sharing where you grew up, and I believe you studied at Harvard, is that right?
That's right. So I grew up in New York, and I was one of those kids that all growing up, I thought I wanted to be a doctor and thought I would be a pediatrician. And as I got kind of further along and started my pre-med coursework at Harvard, I actually started to do a lot of work working in hospitals and talking with physicians and frankly became just a lot more interested in all of the things that were broken with the healthcare system and thinking of ways to fix it, all the way from, you know, policy type things that could be done to kind of things that business ventures could do in the space. And by chance, I ended up meeting a startup that was just getting started at the time named Athena Health. And that really started a lifelong passion really around how technology could be that driving force of change. And that has basically led to my entire career, which has encompassed not just Athena Health, which was a very successful kind of startup in the healthcare tech space, but also Castlight Health and now my foray at Honor.
Great. And I think in there, you also got your MBA from Stanford. What was it? Obviously, that's a great program, but what were you sort of focused on there, or why that particular program for your MBA?
Yeah. So since I'd sort of fallen into and really got my roots started in the startup world, I had a passion for entrepreneurship. And it's one of the strongest programs around that. And it was located here in the Bay Area, where there were just a lot of different things kind of going on. And it was a terrific program. And then importantly, just a great network in terms of the folks that I met there that are all doing really interesting things, not just in healthcare, but in a lot of different sectors, really trying to rethink how markets should work and how technology can help to do that.
And so you were at Athena Health. I think that ended up going public. Did that coincide with your leaving that company? Can you talk through the next stages of your career?
Yeah, sure. After I spent a good number of years at Athena Health, really kind of saw them. I was employee 30 and kind of left when they were about 600 people shortly before they went public. So got to really see the ins and outs of building a business there, and really ended up, for family reasons, moving out to the Bay Area after I left Athena, and have been here ever since doing both a variety of work at larger companies like McKesson, working in consulting at McKinsey across a number of different areas, and then really dug in for a very long period of time at my second startup, which was a company named Castlight Health, which I joined as a very early employee as well, and we took that business public in 2014.
So I think I'm putting the pieces together as you talk. It sounds like you like to have that big picture look and try to make a big impact, which I think is something that Honor's trying to do. And also, it seems like you're drawn to the startup environment. So I'm seeing what appealed to you about the Honor opportunity. is that right? Anything else you can share about why Honor was the right choice for you? I think you joined last year.
Yes, I do. If you get to know me, I'm a very kind of big picture person, but I'm actually also a person that's really about how to drive transformational change. So I usually think of companies as those that are kind of incrementally kind of working within a market, and then those kind of companies that are really trying to think about how do I completely kind of transform what a market or industry should look like. And my two other startups were very much about that, very big kind of missions and visions, but really kind of grounded in a bunch of what were super important secular trends that were going on. So my first company was very much around, you know, the kind of the rise of data in the healthcare environment and how do we start to harness that better. And then my second was really around the trend towards consumerism within healthcare. And so I find kind of Honor in this entire space really interesting because I think aging is one of the biggest kind of trends that's going on, not just here in the US, but, you know, across the world, really. That's going to be a core issue that all of us have to deal with, frankly, in our lifetime. And I think, you know, just really interesting to start to think about the role of technology, but also even what's the structure that these different industries should look like, and non-medical home care in particular, what can and should it look like over the next 10 or 15 years to best support solving all of the things that we need to solve as a society to help support our older adults.
So can you maybe just describe where Honor was when you came on board in terms of where its biggest focuses were? I think it had started raising some big sums of venture capital back in 2015 or 2014, if I'm remembering correctly. So maybe just catch us up on where you found the company and then maybe some of your, you know, top two or three priorities that you've been focused on since you started.
So Honor, as you kind of mentioned, had raised a fair amount of venture capital, over $60 million from some top tier VC investors out here. And I think really kind of was able to do that because the space that, you know, the company was focusing on, non-medical home care, is enormous. It's huge and growing and is really right. There hasn't been a lot of technology and innovation in the space. And so kind of a lot of greenfield opportunity to rethink how the market should work. And where, you know, before I joined, really where Honor had been focused was really like learning how to be a home care agency, right? What does it entail? Because especially kind of a lot of the early, you know, founders in the business had come from consumer tech. And so had a lot of experience around technology and operations, but didn't know this particular marketplace. And so the best way to do that is really, frankly, just to roll up your sleeves and go and do the job. And so what was interesting as the company had done that and when I walked into the business is, you know, during the years and the early years of actually running what is now probably the largest agency here in the San Francisco Bay Area, was I found a company that had built a lot of very interesting assets and expertise around how to apply technology to this entire space, right? Sort of how to use technology, for example, to professionalize and manage caregivers in really, really different ways and important ways, how to use technology to address what is a very logistically complicated business and, you know, even more complicated than many of the other parts of you know, elder care. And then, you know, importantly, how to start to use technology to capture more and more data from the home and out of the minds of our caregivers and sharing that back with other members of the healthcare ecosystem so that we can actually manage this population effectively, which is a huge issue from a cost and quality of life perspective. And so all of those things were super fascinating to me. And a lot of the time I've been spending at the business, especially the early days, was really around what should we do with those assets? And that really led to the genesis of what has been a big part of at least my time at the business, was thinking about new ways of making those technologies and those expertise that we've built available to others that already work in the marketplace. And that's pretty novel. Like a lot of people would build a bunch of stuff and just keep it for themselves. And I think we've been super kind of motivated more about like, how do we change this industry? The best way to change this industry to drive the most impact is frankly for us to get as much as what we're working on and doing in the hands of other people so that we can drive the kind of change that we think needs to happen.
Great. So there's a lot there that I'd like to dig into. But before we get too far ahead of yourself, maybe just to circle back to the question of the venture capital, because I think Honor really made a splash when it started to raise these big sums, because there are, you know, maybe two, three companies that started to do that. But it was sort of unheard of, I think, in the space to see investors and high-profile investors like Andreessen Horowitz put so much capital into a home care company. So wondering if you can sort of talk about the impression you think that Honor has made in the industry and what you would say some of the company's biggest achievements have been so far and maybe some of the things that haven't gone according to plan.
Yeah, so I think, just to answer your question, I think what it probably attracted investors to, you know, put money, frankly, in the business was really around the scope of the vision we have, which is probably different than what folks have traditionally had in the space, which might have been, you know, I want to build a business or I want to, you know, maybe build a franchise in a couple of businesses. Whereas, you know, we're kind of trying to rethink the whole model of how this should work. For example, there's a big opportunity where, you know, it's really hard for seniors to get access to products and services. So what is the role that perhaps Honor can help with being an access point? Or how do we really think about a company that has a technology backbone to do device integration? So I think that partly starts to explain how, you know, our starting point is certainly around helping to provide high quality non-medical care and find great caregivers, but certainly kind of a lot of our vision of where we're taking the business is much broader to that. And I think aligns a lot with what, you know, venture tends to invest kind of money into. And so I think, you know, in terms of to your kind of question, what has the kind of business, you know, learned and uncovered as it's been working in the space is that it's really actually one of a couple of learnings that we've had, which is I think, you know, around the fact that we do continue to see that technology can have a huge amount of value in the space for all the kinds of things I was mentioning earlier, but that it's been severely underleveraged, and I think a huge kind of role around that. But I think, and that will continue to be kind of a core focus area. I think, but perhaps the biggest learning, especially relative to other folks that kind of maybe perhaps then started to try business since then in the space, is that I think we've really come to believe that a lot of what also needs to be really thought about is almost thinking of us as a workforce company. So, you know, the caregivers that exist across the U.S. are over 1% of our U.S. workforce. We're going to need 2 to 3 times as many of them, you know, if we look out to 2030 and the growing population needs that we have. And so what we've really been focusing on is how do we get amazing at really thinking about how to really kind of screen that workforce, motivate that workforce, manage them a lot through kind of technology and workforce management methodologies that have been used in other industry sectors, but really kind of how do we think about that and then connecting them with all the other parts of the system. I think it's probably been the biggest learning and sort of evolution of the business is really thinking of that as one of our core competencies, which probably wasn't necessarily kind of the earliest ways that we kind of thought about the business.
Yeah, in terms of the early ways that the business was conceived of, I know you weren't there right at the beginning, but wonder if you can speak to that, because I know that when we were first reporting on Honor and when some other outlets in the media were reporting on it, we were throwing around the phrase the Uber of home care. And I know that Seth Sternberg, the co-founder and CEO, pushed back on that description. He didn't like it. But I think that it did seem to fit to the extent that it seemed like the idea was that Honor was going to let people call a caregiver more or less on demand through a technology platform. And then I think critics said people don't want to receive home care that way. They want a trusted caregiver and establish a relationship over time. So wondering if you can speak to that description as the Uber of home care and whether you think it was ever sort of in the DNA of the company and if that's changed. And if this maybe fits into what you were saying about how Honor is now thinking about managing the workforce.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific question. Actually, one I get fairly often. You know, I think the interesting element of it is there's a few things that what we're doing do resemble like an Uber, like whether you like them or Lyft or whoever kind of your choice is. But what those businesses have done to industries that are similar to Honor is use technology to kind of really change the dynamic of how the operations and logistics side of a whole marketplace works. And so from that perspective, I do think we're similar. Like we do a lot of thinking around, you know, in some ways you have a high volume of very complicated clients with very different needs, and you have caregivers with really different skills and the right matching and things that can do that. There's a big role that technology can play in how to do that better and effectively and at scale. And I think that's really interesting to really kind of think about. And there were things that Uber and some of the other kind of companies did around enabling access to jobs and opportunities to that workforce that has some very similar parallels, right? Like what we're trying to really help is that right now it's incredibly hard for caregivers to sometimes even find all the right jobs that are available in a marketplace. And they're working for like four agencies to kind of get by and put food on the table. And how do we help solve some of those problems so that we have greater kind of liquidity in the market and better visibility into what is the work that needs to be kind of, yeah, what's works available and who can kind of do it. So that part's similar. I think the part that starts to be very, very different, and I do think this was a learning and an evolution because, you know, I think kind of coming in, you can say, oh, if I'm outside the space, I'm going to think of this in a very transactional model, like how car driving services work. And it's really not. Like, I think that was just one of those core critical learnings is this is a very high touch service. People care a lot about that match. And the caregiver is really trying to think about this of like, how to make a career in this space and how do I have, you know, professional development? And that's what I would sort of say was the genesis for this shift in evolution to really, you know, starting to even think about this business much more as a workforce business and how in the time and investment we were really kind of putting into that as part of it.
Got it. So I guess I'm wondering if you can maybe elaborate on the idea of Honor as a workforce business, what that phrase workforce business means. I don't know that I have a more specific question there, but is it the difference between sort of who you're thinking the primary person you're serving is with your service? Is it more that you are thinking of the caregiver almost as the client rather than the end user of the home care service?
I think what it really means is I think what we are super well positioned to do with our kind of focus areas and then the scale and frankly level investment we can put about it are doing things like, you know, high throughput recruiting in markets, right? And actually building entire tools and systems that a caregiver can use to do their work better, right? Those are the kinds of things where our scale and our level of investment kind of really well position us to kind of do those. And those all, you know, the service we provide is a caregiver, it's a human service, right? So fundamentally by empowering all those caregivers to operate better, we can deliver better experience to the client. So I don't really see it as like we prioritize one or the other. I just think kind of what's unique in the approach is probably the dual emphasis on what's the role of technology and things, but then also kind of how do we think about changing how caregivers operate within the system in a pretty different way. And then, you know, I think kind of as we've been thinking about it, a lot of our thought has been around if that's what our core companies build, that we're building and what we're kind of great at is how do we give other people access to that capability, right? So that, you know, obviously we go and market kind of Honor in markets today, but certainly we've started a whole number of models where we essentially help other existing folks that work within the care continuum to be able to take advantage of the fact that we are really great at, you know, recruiting, managing, doing collections, doing all those kind of areas where actually scale, process, technology are really, really helpful in delivering a high quality mm-hmm. service.
So what sort of differentiates Honor? I guess, do you think of Honor as primarily a home care provider, a provider of services? It almost sounds like in some ways it's becoming a tech platform that companies can use, the backbone of the Honor system, but maybe still have, you know, keep their own identity as a provider. Are you in sort of a gray zone between provider and tech vendor, or am I not thinking of it the right way?
I think that is a correct way. I think we increasingly see ourselves as a kind of almost like a growth platform, a lot of other folks that are working in the space in the sense that it's not just the tech, it's that combination of the tech and the operational expertise that we can bring to bear. So as you can imagine, a part of what we do is just literally, you know, I have teams of people that are fully dedicated to caregiver recruiting across all of our markets, right? So that's like an operational kind of capability that we have that sits on top of what our technology can do. And that's incredibly valuable. And yes, we kind of essentially give partners access to those capabilities so that they don't have to worry about those aspects of the business and they can really focus on a bunch of the things that they do incredibly well. So for example, developing deep relationships in their community and being spending a lot of time doing really great, you know, care management kind of capabilities with their clients. And so that's really kind of where we've evolved a fair amount. And so I think kind of a tech platform doesn't fully encapsulate the kinds of things that we can help take off the plate. And then vice versa, the value of that is we can start to then manage caregivers in an even better way because we're managing so many more caregivers in a market, right? We can kind of really do you know, at scale like that, you can think about doing really different things in terms of training, right? Because all of a sudden you're training huge amounts of people. You can think about really different things around professional development and career pathing that I find really exciting. You can, you know, if we write one device integration and we can just push that out to all the partners that are using our technical backend, that's the kind of thing that can start to drive kind of transformational change, because we're just reaching a lot more caregivers are reaching a lot more clients more quickly through that model than if we were solely just working through, you know, our own teams in every single marketplace.
Got it. So I think that this is really an advantage of scale you're talking about. What is the sort of, I guess, scale of Honor today? I think, did you mention that you think that you're the biggest provider in the Bay Area today?
Yeah, we are definitely the biggest provider here in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're kind of operating in the states of California, Texas, and New Mexico today. Obviously, a lot of our goal is to be expanding to more and more kind of markets as we're scaling really, really quickly. And so so it's been pretty rapid kind of far, especially as we moved into the sort of partner-based model. Our ability to think about, you know, covering states within the matter of months mm-hmm. becomes pretty different.
And by what metric are you the biggest in the Bay Area? Is that number of caregivers, number of clients, both?
Yeah, you can think about, you know, dollars, clients, caregivers, all of those metrics. We're going to be the largest provider out here.
Can you share any of those numbers?
Unfortunately, I can't, but I think kind of one way you might think about it is, for example, here in the Bay Area, we literally have probably screened over half of all the caregivers that work in this marketplace. And we're kind of servicing so much of it, and we have such high volume of business.
All right. And can you talk about some of the partnerships that you're forging, the kinds of providers that are seeking to take advantage of the Honor platform and leverage all of those advantages that you think you bring to the table? I think we've reported recently on a nonprofit provider that decided to work with Honor. And I think we've reported on senior living providers as well as potential partners. Is it really people across the continuum of care, for-profit, nonprofit, that whole casting a wide net?
It's a pretty broad net. So I largely bucket them into three groups. And so the first are existing non-medical home care agencies. And so, you know, these could be, you know, independent mom and pop. It could be, you know, someone that's part of a care continuum system, but they have a non-medical home care line. So really someone that's kind of operating today that has, you know, struggles with hiring caregivers or wishes they had more sort of more time to be with clients. They tend to be really good profiles for this, but really kind of the highest quality kind of providers in each market that are already kind of operating today. So we bring them under and onto our kind of platform so that they can leverage those capabilities. So that's kind of one group that we partner with today. The second really are continuing care sort of systems that might be providing a whole lot of other services, and they want to sort of bring together the non-medical component more tightly because they see a lot of opportunity to improve and streamline care, right? If we can actually coordinate more effectively and we can get data that we're kind of capturing the home back into the hands of their case managers and their care coordinators, or kind of coordinate the discharge process even better. So that's kind of another class of entities that we kind of work with today. And then the third is really kind of the emerging world of as payers are starting to really think about this market, or kind of other large corporate organizations that really want to think about how to work with seniors. Those are kind of a third category that get very attracted by the fact that we're essentially building a national network, and that network is very interesting to them and pretty unprecedented in the space. And so there's a lot of interest from kind of large kind of national organizations to partner with that network, which, you know, our network includes kind of our agencies, but mostly kind of our partner agencies that are part of our network in order to kind of really deliver service.
And that leads into a question I had about this recent Medicare Advantage change that was finalized last week, that Medicare Advantage plans in 2019 are going to be allowed to start to offer a benefit for non-skilled in-home care. And I know Honor put out a statement at the time saying that this is a great development and opportunity. So I guess just wondering if you can maybe elaborate on what that opportunity is for Honor, and if you think it, I assume that you think that the scale that you're talking about is going to be an advantage because insurers, I think, want to work with providers that have the scale to match up with their beneficiary populations and to produce the kind of data to the insurer to prove that costs and outcomes are in line. Is that the right way of thinking about it?
That's exactly right. So we think this is a great example of why we think that there does need to be some amount of sort of network building in this space and sort of technology enablement. Because, you know, if you think about it from a payer perspective, in every other part of the of what they manage, you know, pharmacy, dental, medical, right, there's existing easy places to kind of interact with the system, and they kind of know what they're getting, and they know the quality standards and their structure, and there's data that can come back to them to sort of show the value of what's happening. And obviously that's been improving, and there's still some areas to work on, but this whole space has been incredibly hard for them to work with to date, even though I think there's sort of eagerness and desire to kind of understand what is the value of non-medical home care and how does it, you know, how can it really impact cost of care, and how should they reimburse that relative to kind of the traditional things like facilities. And so so I think there's going to be growing interest from that entire market to really experiment and test and gather all the data points they need to kind of really figure out how this is going to fit within coverage benefits. And we already are seeing that interest today and have some pilot relationships that we've started to help with that exploration.
Great. And another thing I've heard is that some providers are thinking that insurers and other managed care organizations are also going to be looking for partners that not only have scale, but diversity of services. So we see companies trying to acquire or build, you know, if they have personal care, add on maybe skilled home health and hospice. Is that something that Honor is interested in today, or that you could see as a growth area in the future, getting into these more skilled healthcare types of in-home care services?
It's an interesting question. We may at some point. I think right now we see, as I said, that core opportunity is really that no one's actually doing this part of the world very well at scale. So there's a lot of, you know, in every market you can find a great kind of independent agency who's doing things, you know, in amazing, providing amazing service, great, you know, high quality caregivers, but there's nothing from a broad, consistent, you know, every time I go here, I know what I'm getting. And we see that as the really big opportunity, and that's what insurers and other folks are going to want and need the way they have from other parts of the system today. But what's really interesting that I would say is that I think there's a number of both provider systems, you know, continuing care systems, you know, SNF providers that are very regional in nature, who for them to kind of deliver what folks want from them, want to often diversify and offer that non-medical home care service line. And we help them to do that. So I guess we're sort of not actually choosing to get into it, but we're helping to enable kind of some of those existing players that already provide those other service lines to knit together the non-medical component so that they can offer the broad spectrum that you really need to manage a patient population effectively.
So when Honor first came on the scene, there was some skepticism, I think, from industry veterans. And I thought that some of that might be legitimate. Some of it might be coming from a place of feeling threatened by this new player who comes out and raises a bunch of venture capital. But then Home Hero, which was a company, I think, that had a similar model to Honor and had also raised quite a bit of VC funding, closed down last year. And I sort of thought, you know, maybe this, what the skeptic said, is true, and that these startups don't really have a sustainable model. So I think one big thing, impediment that Home Hero came up against was that they started out on this 1099 contractor model, that its caregivers were these independent contractors. And then due to changes in regulations and laws, they had to switch over to W-2, which I think increased their costs related to hiring and onboarding by something like 10 times. And that really was dealt them sort of a death blow. So wondering if you can speak to that issue for Honor. Again, I don't know if you were there through that whole transition, but you know, I think Honor also had to move to W-2 status. And did it increase costs? How have you been able to sort of weather that challenge that Home Hero obviously wasn't able to get through?
Yeah, but I think what we've seen, and I've seen it since I've been in the space, I mean, this is a complicated business, right? Anyone that operates in it, I'm sure all your readers, you know, this is, if you wanted an easy business where you make a ton of money, you'd be working in a different sector, right? We're all working in this because we want to address a huge issue and help our parents, frankly, and then ourselves when we get to be that age, to have the kind of support that we need. And I think you have to have that kind of endurance and kind of fortitude to kind of work in this sector, because it's not easy, right? And we deal with a lot of very real world issues and deaths and all sorts of things that kind of go on in here. So I can't really comment on other businesses, but what I would say is it's not a business for everybody. But if you're in it, you know, I think kind of what we learned, and I think kind of our flexibility to kind of take those learnings and move the business model and really think about it, I think have allowed us to weather those complications a lot better and have led to really good learnings. As I said, like core learnings around this is not a transactional marketplace. This is about a really important workforce and investing in it. And I think that was just a key learning. And instead of sort of saying, hey, that's complicated or that's not what we were expecting, it was much more about like, okay, we'll become a company that's great at that. Or if it was like, okay, we can kind of do this, but to really kind of get to the scope and scale we want to, we need to really work with, work with folks in the space to really get our what we've built out there. I think the thing that I've liked about the team here is that openness to really kind of learn and adapt and not have a ton of ego around, you know, I thought it was going to work this way and it turned out that didn't work that way, but it was much more about like, we have a long-term goal of what we want to do, which is improve care for parents in this country. We will do all the right things to kind of do that, whether or not it's our stuff or someone else's stuff. That's really the long-term mission. And so I think it's that flexibility, which is what makes this business, you know, continue to be around and weather through all the things that perhaps other companies couldn't.
I'd like to read, so when Home Hero closed down, the founder wrote a blog sort of explaining what happened. And I just want to read a quote from that briefly and then ask a question related to that. The quote is, "We were very reluctant to add additional headcount, but we realized the best way to win the highest net worth clients spending over $3,000 a month was not to build faster and fancier technology, but to engage in the handholding and spend long hours with the family. Friction builds trust." So with that in mind, I guess I'm curious if you can share how I guess Honor really connects with new clients. Is it mainly that they, is this people who hop on the website and they scroll through the caregivers and, you know, just sort of find someone they like and click on it? Or is there more, are there mechanisms that are really building friction through handholding, through in-person meetings, things like that?
Yeah, what I think is pretty interesting on the model we've come up with it is it's that what we're actually have actually figured out how to do is that pairing of extreme high touch with, you know, scale, right? Scale and technology. And the way that we've done that is in all of our markets we operate, you know, we either have our own people on the ground that, you know, essentially are an Honor agency, but for the most part, really it's, we have partners in our market that are, that, you know, have been in business for a long time, are incredibly high touch with their clients, right? They visit people in the hospital. They know their entire families. They've often been part of the communities for a long period of time. And that, you know, so it can be extremely high touch the way that kind of independent businesses, you know, are really known for. And then you pair that with what Honor can bring in terms of the things I mentioned before, but all of the kind of things where scale and investment really help around workforce management, technology integrations we can do with other kinds of technologies that are out there today. And so to me, I think that pairing is going to be very unique in this space because, you know, it basically can enable us to do things that are way more than, you know, a fragmented set. I think there's like 21,000 agencies or something like that in the country. It's way better than each one of those, you know, individual 21,000 people that just kind of serves 30 clients can do. And it's actually better than what Honor could have done on its own, right? Because we get those deep roots in the community through our partners, which I think is incredibly valuable to your kind of point. So it's been a really interesting, I would sort of say, marriage that we've kind of come up with in this kind of model that we've pursued over the last several months that I think has actually proved really beneficial at the end of the day to both clients and caregivers.
Maybe that addresses the next question I was going to ask, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. And maybe you can repeat yourself if you need to. And I promise this is the last quote I'm going to read you, but this is from an article we ran last year, I believe, with the CEO of Senior Helpers, which is a big franchise-based in-home care company. And he was talking about Honor, Home Team, and Home Hero. And he said, "I've talked to all of them. I think everyone was worried that there was going to be this big tech disruption that would change how home care is done. But I've seen that they've had to change their model, directly employ caregivers." He goes on to say that maybe they're using tech a little better than we are. They might have some bells and whistles, but we feel confident that client acquisition is not an issue for us. We have great referral services. And then ultimately, he said, "I think Honor's a good company. I like the people managing it, but I look at them a lot like I look at Home Instead, Maxima, Biota, another competitor. I think Honor will do well over time, but they're going to be just like us." So as you mentioned, it's a very fragmented space, but there are other big players in it, like Home Instead, Maxim, Biota. So wondering if you can maybe address this point and really hit on the things that you think differentiates Honor from some of these other big players in the space that also, you know, have technology and some of the benefits of scale that you've talked about.
Yeah, I think kind of the big difference is that, you know, a lot of them are really kind of, frankly, franchisors, right, that run have a series of franchisees that they have some control over, but not a ton in terms of how they operate. And so examples of what I kind of give around this is that there's very few places where you can sort of say, like, people 100% follow the exact same recruitment, hiring standards, exact process, you know, the exact same performance management protocol, so that you 100% kind of know what, you know, when you get something, what it's going to be. And so that kind of level of consistent standard around service level agreement is what is pretty unique about what we can do at a national level, you know, over time, is just, you know, we can actually ensure that because we own all of that part of the chain. And I think kind of the biggest other thing is, you know, because we are fully integrated with everything that our caregivers do, kind of they all use our technologies and applications, it really opens your eyes up to a bunch of things that we can start to do that are very, very different. So for example, I was talking with a payer the other day where they're like, you know, it'd be great to understand and capture tons more information from the home, right? And that becomes very easy for a company like us because, you know, everyone's using our apps and we can standardize the things that they collect and the information that's there, the kinds of things that we just we'll announce soon, but we're doing a really interesting integration with a number of the in-home devices. And that's the kind of thing that we're kind of built and cut out to do, given the kind of company that we are, but starts to actually fundamentally change the way we think of non-medical home care. It's not just, okay, I provide caregiving. It's, you know, I actually, you know, fully capture and integrate kind of the home care service with all the things that they kind of need. So I think it's more in terms of where we can take the business in terms of a lot of the other products and services that we can bring together through that common backbone and get out at a national level. That's different.
And then another big trend that we've been tracking is that retail is starting to play a bigger role in sort of the healthcare ecosystem. That's partly through big transactions like CVS and Aetna tying up. Most recently, we heard rumors that Walmart is thinking of acquiring Humana. And Honor popped into my mind as we've been reporting all this, because I know Honor, I believe, was working with Walmart to open sort of storefronts in Walmart stores. So wondering if you can comment at all on whether those are still open, how that's going, and just bigger picture, if you can comment at all on maybe what you see as these blurring lines between retail insurance and healthcare providers.
Yeah, so I actually think this is a great example of what your last question was really around, which is, you know, we see tons of interest from retailers, you know, Walmart, many others of a similar nature, that are eager to get closer to the home, get closer to seniors, to, you know, who want to think about how to get their products, you know, and services out to these kind of individuals. And so to me, that's the kind of fascinating case in point example of what we can do really well, which is, you know, with a national network and, you know, and that ability to kind of have a technology underpinning to everything, it's relatively easy to see a world where in a, you know, how does Honor become someone that helps be something that gets their goods and products into the home, right? That's not too hard for us to kind of build here and think about. And so I think it'll be a growing trend. And I think it kind of speaks to how we don't even have to find this, but we get tons of interest from folks like that because we're just kind of the player that they can actually think about how to do something with.
And then I guess curious if you can share some of the future plans and goals, near term, maybe even longer term for Honor. I know you've worked for two startups, Athena, and I believe Castlight also had an IPO. Is an IPO at all, if you're looking at a crystal ball, something that is already being thought about for Honor?
I never think of IPOs are financing events. And so you raise capital to build a business and build your vision. You know, I think what we're all focused on here at Honor is how to accomplish what is a broad ambition around how to kind of to really start to think about this space and knit it together. So kind of near term, just a ton of focus on how we build out our kind of national network and footprint, finding the best partners in every single market is really my top goal. I've We have found a number of amazing partners to date who I personally have gotten to know and love their passion and the space. And I really do think it's a great kind of pairing that we've brought together as we've gotten these off the ground. And so that's a kind of a number one, you know, focus of just how we kind of build these out and then start to really kind of build this next generation of things that I do think are pretty different in this space and need to happen, right? I think there's, you know, for example, we got to solve the problem that we're going to need 2 to 3x more workforce in the space. How do we do that? How do we start pairing devices into this space so we can actually accomplish that? There's a big affordability kind of issue right now. So how do we think about novel things we can do with the sort of payers and insurers of the world to make kind of things actually more affordable to populations? And so I sort of in parallel to Brilliant National Network, just a ton of focus on some of these bigger, more macro issues that because the world is so fragmented today, I kind of fear aren't really being tackled by almost anyone else in the marketplace right now.
Got it. So this podcast is called Disrupt. I'm wondering how you define disruption and whether you think it's accurate to call Honor a home care disruptor.
Interesting question. I like to think of things as transformation and industries as transformation. And I think of us as a transformational company that's trying to do that in this space. Some people will fear it and call it disruption, but to me, it's more of evolution and growth that we should be focused on. And if we don't all start to embrace that, I don't think we'll ever solve, you know, the kinds of issues that we're going to face as a country in this sector. So I'm excited that you started this. I'm excited for folks to listen to it, for other kind of leaders and thought partners in the space to be actively participating in the dialogue, since it's going to take kind of, it's going to be us as the leaders of these sectors to really, you know, make this kind of entire space of how we care for older adults different, you know, in the future.
All right. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks again for taking the time to chat. Appreciate you participating in the podcast.
Thank you so much for your time.